Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in James chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, titled, The Life of Repentance. This is Pastor Greg, and I invite you to contact us if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests by sending those to our email address at BBFOhio@protonmail.com. You can also send letters along with any check or money order contributions. If you do send those, make those out to Bible Believers Fellowship and send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also contact us and or donate on our website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in James chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, titled The Life of Repentance. This is part 1. Of two. And now, our current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, California government bans travel to Ohio. Yeah, it's the best news I've heard all day.
Yeah, wow.
Actually, there are a lot of decent Christians out there in California, so they're going to be forced. But this is government, by the way. It's not private. If you're a private individual just traveling, you're still allowed to come to Ohio. But the government employees are banned from traveling because Ohio passed a bill to protect Christians. And the Antichrists who run California can't stand that. California banned state-funded travel to Ohio over law protecting healthcare professionals' religious freedom. Ohio's state budget for 2022 and 2023 is House Bill 110 and includes the Medical Ethics and Diversity Act. Doctors cannot be forced to perform abortions or prescribe dangerous puberty-blocking drugs to children for gender transitioning if doing so goes against their conscience. But liberals lie. It's what they do. This is their response. Blocking access to life-saving care is wrong. He's a bald-faced liar. His name's Rob Bonta, Attorney General. There's nothing life-saving going to be kept from any sodomite that comes to Ohio. If any of the sodomites who come to Ohio need life-saving treatment, they'll get it. What they won't get is maintenance drugs that they haven't really even been prescribed properly. They will not get gender transitioning surgeries and such. So that's how they lie. They're like Satan. I'm telling you, liberals talk like Satan. If you go back to Genesis 3 and Luke 4 and Matthew 4, Satan abuses the language. And that's exactly what liberals do. Abusingly, whether it's, he says this, is the liar out in California, whether it's denying a prescription for medication that prevents the spread of HIV, why would somebody traveling to Ohio need that in Ohio while they're here? They won't. Why would some California state worker need that while they're here? They wouldn't. Medication that prevents the spread of HIV is not denied to anybody who really needs the medicine. Refusing to provide gender-affirming care, and that means that they won't allow children to bypass parental authority. Out in California, a kid can go into hormone therapy and sex change mutilation surgery and not have to get permission from their parents. Or undermining a woman's right to choose. HB 110 unnecessarily puts the health of Americans at risk. So he's lying. It will never be enough to accommodate Sodom. We've said this for going on 20 years now, trying to get the word out to those who will listen. Every time you give in to the Sodomite agenda, that's never enough. A lot of people thought, well, we'll let them get a legal marriage and then they'll get off our backs. No, now they want to adopt children. And they're trying to actually then get those children involved in homosexual activity and get those children into sex change operations and such as early as being toddlers. The only thing they'll be satisfied with is that you must bow and serve them. That's the only thing they're satisfied with. Meanwhile, the divine nature of biblical events is being undermined in most major media and in the schools and such. But here's an example of what I'm talking about. Skeptics confirm Bible stories but destroy the miracle involved. How many of you have seen stories like that? And you'll see it on History Channel, PBS, and all that too. Here's the latest example. They catch your eyes with this headline. Has Sodom been found? The problem is that we know where Sodom is, and we've known forever. We know for a long time where Sodom is. We know that there's tar pits at the end of the Dead Sea where Sodom used to be. And they found evidence of the city and everything in ruins. So why did they say that? To get your attention. Scientists say meteor and fire from sky melted ancient city. And a lot of Christians who don't have discernment, and if that's anybody in this room, I'm not trying to insult anybody, anybody online, I'm not trying to insult you. Please take this as I'm trying to teach. And the teaching is that if you see these things and they have a natural explanation for what the Bible says God did, that's not good. That's not supporting the Bible. That's contradicting the Bible. The Bible says God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven. It wasn't some ice ball that just happened to land on the city of Sodom and the surrounding cities. By the way, I was telling somebody this last week. I've had several people send me this. That's why I'm talking about it now. But Abraham slept through it. Have you ever read about what a meteor does when it hits the earth? Abraham would have been bounced out of bed and scared to death if he, had one of his moments. Abraham had his moments just like we do. He slept through it, gets up in the morning with his cup of coffee, looks off on the horizon, and there's smoke. So that's not a meteor. And so when you see these kind of reports, you have to understand the people behind it don't believe the Bible. Biblical Archaeology Review constantly is putting stuff like this out. And Christians are like, oh, wow, that confirms the Bible. It would confirm that the story happened, but contradicts what the Bible says happened. You see my point? It's like... there's a story, the life of George Washington. And there's a story about George Washington cutting down a cherry tree. We were told in school that there was something found, and it confirmed a lot of what we knew about George Washington, but contradicted the story of him chopping down a cherry tree. Well, come to find out later on, there is evidence of George Washington hacking down a cherry tree. And that when he was confronted, he confessed that he did it. And that was the point of the story, was he was an honest, he was a sinful little boy, but he was honest enough to own up to it when he did it. But you see how that works? You're constantly hearing these things, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. They found this, and they're coming to this conclusion. You got to question the conclusion. And finally, the apostate pastors try to save this present world. We've been studying in James chapter 4. We're going to make reference to it again today. It says that in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And then we read in 1 John that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Well, you've got these pastors, and they're apostates. They don't believe the Bible. They're reverends in these apostate denominations, but they don't believe the Bible. And so what do? They're not concerned about souls. You want to know why the Presbyterian Church USA preacher and the Episcopal preacher and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America preacher and the American Baptist preacher and some of these others are... You never see them going around trying to talk to people about the gospel. You want to know why? They're fakes. They are in the ministry for the paycheck and the retirement plan, and the pension is great. They get vacation time. Usually they get a company car. They get a stipend for clothing and books and everything. They get a housing allowance. And then they golf half the time.
Hirelings.
John 10. So what do? Well, they do things like this. Lutheran pastor says God called him to fast until climate change bill is passed. I don't think he's lying. The God of this world probably called him to do that, because that's Satan's agenda, is to get preachers off of the God-called ministry into that kind of junk. And I believe in climate change. I believe the climate changes every year in Ohio almost every day. And we have the seasons change. But also, just if you look throughout history, there's these cycles where the heat, you know, goes up, and then we end up with a cold season and a hot season, a cold season.
I believe it's all going to burn.
Jenny's got, it's all going to burn.
Everybody says, like, do you believe global warming? Said, oh, yeah, it's all going to burn.
Yeah, global warming's coming. If you read in the book of Revelation, I believe Revelation chapter 6, where it's going to burn up like a third of the earth at a time.
And the elements melt with burning heat.
I always have to say this because people get upset. We love God's creation. I believe in taking care of God's creation. I believe in being a good steward. I hate when I see people throwing bags of garbage off the side of the road and trashing up our campsites and that kind of thing. I love clean water. I love clean air. I have asthma and COPD, so I need clean air. But the climate change movement has nothing to do with that. It's Marxism. It has nothing to do with saving the planet. It has everything to do with taking over the planet. And that's why I stand against him. That's why, if that guy is serious, he really thinks he's saving the earth, he's a sucker. He's what Lenin called a useful idiot. Because he's not saving the earth, he's helping a bunch of Marxists pass laws where they take over all the land and all the resources, and they still abuse them, folks. They still abuse our natural resources. And of all people, I say this, how many of you, maybe I shouldn't ask, Michael Moore, I've told you, if you want to find out the truth about a lot of this stuff, words that I never thought would ever come out of my mouth, is watch Michael Moore's most recent documentary, Planet of the Humans. And you'll see. And Michael Moore is a left-winger who is very environmentally active. He's an activist. And he'll tell you that what this environmental movement is doing is killing the planet. And there's a reason why these same people who are going to take over the government, take over the economy, and take over religion and all that, God returns and kills them all. And he says he's come to destroy them that destroy the earth. Think that through sometime, you get a chance. Children of this world love this world. As much as I urge you to take care of the natural resources and be a good steward of creation, our goal and our priority is to save the souls of men by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to teach the word of God so that people will be, you know, it's not our goal, but actually the best citizens are Bible-believing Christians. The prisons aren't full of people who are Bible-believing Christians. There are church members in prison, but those are church members who aren't living by the Bible. Anybody who's a Bible-believing Christian living by the Bible is the best citizen you can hope to ever have in your country. All right. If you remember the last study, we left off in verse 8 and talked about how it described repentance. And that is why we pick up verse 9 with a message titled, The Life of Repentance. So let's read verses 9 through 12, and I'll read the odd and you join in the even. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Amen?
Amen.
So we ended, as I said, our previous discussion, study, discussing the fact that verses 5 and 6, actually 7 and 8, also describe repentance. Repentance is a very misunderstood word, so I just want to get something out of the way before we get into this. Repentance is not penance.
Right.
Penance is works. But you'll hear people claim that they'll say, well, yes, repentance isn't penance, but it is still works. No, it is not. We have a message on it. I'm not going to re-teach it here. You can go out to our sermon audio page, do a search on repentance. You'll see we've done a number of studies on repentance, and one was titled, Repentance is Not Works. The Bible says clearly, repentance is something that God gives to those who receive His Word with humility. You receive His Word, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, and He then produces in you repentance. So repentance is not works. And so we have to establish that. But right there where you're at, we began our look at repentance last week in verses 7 and 8. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. No one can submit themselves to God unless they repent. Do you realize there are probably into the millions of people around the world who believe that they're saved, and at no point did they submit to God? They believed the gospel in the sense that they believed the facts of the gospel, but in most of the cases, what I'm talking about is there's really not even a clear presentation of the gospel. I've told you about the so-called soul winners running around racking up numbers of people who will pray the sinner's prayer with them. But the person they're dealing with doesn't understand what they're saying to them. And they, a lot of times, I told you about the man that went around bragging about leading thousands of people to the Lord, he said. But he never even presented the gospel and didn't even mention the name of Jesus. I mean, think about that. Now, this is a real story. The man was an altar worker at a Baptist church here in Columbus, Ohio at the time. And he said he'd go up to, I was impressed. I said, how do you do that? He said, well, I asked him, would you like to go to heaven? And most people say yes. And I say, well, would you be willing to say this prayer with me? And they say, well, yes. And so he says, dear Lord. And they say, dear Lord. And they go through the little prayer. And he went through it and he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's how he would end his prayer. And I was sitting at his dinner table when he's telling me this, and I'm eating, and I listened, and he stopped. And I said, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, if you want to go that route. That's what people are doing and claiming to be soul winners. And there's no repentance, no need for repentance for that gospel. What do I mean by repentance? Repentance is to submit to the truth about you and about God when it comes to being saved. Repent and believe the gospel. You are a sinner. Most people today will not agree with that statement. Most people are told you're toxic if you try to tell them they're a sinner. They need to get away from you. You're toxic. You're negative.
You're
judging me. Yeah. And you tell them that they deserve to be in hell. And people look right at you. My Jesus wouldn't put anybody in hell. They don't even believe in hell. Or only the really bad people like Hitler and Ted Bundy go there. And on it goes. No repentance. And the gospel, I have talked to people who claim to be Christians, and when I say, now, you know what the gospel is? And they can't tell me. How can you be saved if you can't even tell me what the gospel is when you're only saved by believing the gospel?
That's right.
I've gone door to door so many times and talked to people who said they were saved, they prayed the prayer, sinner's prayer of the preacher, and cannot even tell me what the gospel is. Well, this theme of repentance goes through verse 12, which we already read. Look at verse 9. This scares people to death when you read stuff like this, but read it with me. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now, this is not your life verse. He's not telling you for no reason just to be afflicted and mourn and weep. This is in the context of those who are what in verse 4? Who is James referring to here when he's in the context of verse 4? Read that with me. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's who he's talking to. If that describes you today, anyone watching, listening, if that describes you today, you need to draw nigh to God. That means you have to get away from the world. That's what repentance is. It's not an act. It's not things you do. It's in your heart. You turn away from the world and turn to God. What's the difference between Abraham and Lot? Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then what happened? That's the difference. We believe Lot was a believer. Peter called him a righteous man, said that the Sodomites and their sin vexed his righteous soul. And yet, see, what I'm saying is this could happen to you. This can happen to me. You got to be very careful you're not pitching your tent toward Sodom. These days, used to be preachers would say that and have to explain it. Today, you're living it. You make a choice almost every day. You get up, you make a choice whether or not to stand with the Lord or pitch your tent toward Sodom. Amen. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Call me a sinner. Who do you think you are? Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's who he's talking about. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. There is nothing wrong with a good laugh. Obviously, nothing wrong with joy, but he says here, these people need to turn their joy to heaviness. Why? There's a time for joy. There's a time for laughter. But when you're in sin and you're an unrepentant rebel, that's not the time to be laughing. That's what makes me sad a lot of times when I see comedians on, even the clean ones. I'll be sitting there watching, and they'll be funny, and I'll be laughing. But then I just kind of get a sick feeling. Because I know that crowd they're talking to are on their way to hell, could be killed in the car on the way home after this show, having a good time, laughing, whipping it up. It just, if you think about life a lot of times, you'll be one of those, Jenny, this last couple of weeks, she's wondering when it's the steroids and when it's not. But there's a couple of times where she get a little teary-eyed and weepy-eyed. And I said, well, if it's the steroids, then it's just emphasizing what that's a legitimate response to sin. A legitimate response when you see people's own sin killing them. A legitimate response when you see people's sin destroying themselves or hurting others around them. That's Laodicea. The worldly church or Christian is, we call them Laodicean because there's a place called Laodicea, and the place itself isn't what we're referring to. It's the church that existed in Laodicea at the time that the book of Revelation was written. And at that time, the church that was in Laodicea previously had been a good church. You can read, Paul talks about the church of Laodicea a couple times and talks about them in positive remarks toward those people there. But from that time to about 95 AD, just a few decades, think about the difference between a lot of churches in 1950 compared to 1980 and now 2020. It's just 20, 30 years at a pop. And they go from up here to down here. And some of them now have gone from down here to down here. In that short of time. Scripture is scripture. The worldly, lukewarm church of Laodicea is described for us. Look over in Revelation 3. It's just a little ways from where we are in James. Revelation chapter 3. By the way, we taught through Revelation, and we did a study on each one of these seven churches. And the last church here is Laodicea, beginning in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Read 15 with me. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Again, a lot of Christians think, because I'm not a rapist, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a thief, you know, that's how low they set the bar. That's these people. They're okay, you know, because they're not doing anything really bad. Well, look what it says, verse 16, read that. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, if they were really cold, those people God can deal with. And the people that are hot, they're hot.